Peter from a college across the river will come, Ulysses. They won't know they are here because the town looks dead or deserted. They'll miss the celebration too, of course. That's today in the little park by the river. The early morning light usually comes over there, over those maples, down there by the road where it turns to go into the river. The pin oaks in autumn just about drive you wild. The colors will flame out and for a while you forget that the elm trees are dying and that the county will come in next month and put red X's on them and cut down. But you'll forget all about that for about 2 weeks in autumn. But the night isn't finished here yet. The trees are asleep. They're dark. Those colors are sort of silent just now. The breeze is cool before dawn. Need a coat this morning. But the trees won't save this town. I doubt if anything can save it. Maybe that's best. Even towns get tired and die. Of course, this one isn't dead yet. There's still living going on here even now, but there's no denying it's seen its best days. Some of the folks still living here might argue that the town's dying. Some would applaud the idea. There it is. See that gray orange in the sky just there? There above that line of trees? That's morning. That's the way it comes. Then it'll drag down and kind of flatten out over the hills, pressing the darkness deeper into the trees, until the trees start shining out, picking up the sun's rays, you might say. Of course, there's not much you'll see here. Not as the world reckons seeing. Still, such as we have, you're welcome to. Here comes the pin oak now. Look at that color. And that moving shadow over there is Mr. Weedy. He moved here after 39 years teaching college. He generally gets in some early fishing before the sun's up too long. Most people figure if Mr. Weedy is up and about, the town must not be dead yet.
Yes, I fish. Best thing I ever learned. One learns to fish. There are several schools, no pun intended, thought about that. I'm told fishing is looked upon by some as evidence of laziness. Nonsense. Who else you see out and about at this hour? Evidence of craziness, my wife says.
Horace loves to fish. Why, sakes alive. He'd rather sit on some slippery mud bank watching a cork bobbing in the water than almost anything. Time was, he hadn't time for fishing. He just about drove me crazy talking about worms and flies and spinners and, oh, I don't know what all. It was enough to drive a body out of the house. Then, when he retired from the college, he had all the time he wanted for fishing.
And he didn't mind leaving you alone, Molly, but off in the wee hours of the morning either, did he? Not him. If he were mine, I'd soon put a stop to that nonsense.
But he's not yours. And I'll thank you to remember that, Bernice. Horace is a fine gentleman, and fishing is a perfectly respectable hobby.
Sarah and Bernice are sisters. Bernice lives with them. Never married, though. There was a time when she returned to Ulysses, sudden-like, after living in California. The word we got was she met a fellow who sold used cars in Bakersfield. He got a lot of promises, but was left waiting at the altar, as you might say. She came home here to her sister's place. She hasn't been very keen on men since, or on California. The sun's well up now. Where town's supposed to be dead or dying, there's plenty going on if you know where to look. Those ladies coming up there in the street are going to do some laundry. Looks like a bank, doesn't it? Used to be a bank. Nora's Toomer, the teller, closed it when he decided he could be richer and probably happier in Philadelphia. So he took the money, and that ended the bank. But it's busier now as a laundromat than it ever was at the bank. That's Pearl French and Emma Tischhauser going in.
I do my laundry here. Where else? I wouldn't do it down by the river.
Lord, no, Pearl, not you. Why, if there was any work connected with it, you wouldn't budge a finger to wash clothes.
Well, at least I know when to keep quiet, Emma Tischhauser.
Yes, Pearl. We all know about you keeping quiet. I seem to remember the time Reverend Wiebe was just beginning the Easter Sunday sermon when you started hiccuping. And hiccuping. He couldn't go on. He stood there looking perplexed, wondering if he should just go on. Then he did go on, and you hiccuped, and he stopped, and you stopped, and everyone waited to see if you would go on or not. Then he began slowly to see if the road was clear, and you hiccuped again, right smack in the middle of his hallelujah.
Well, you didn't have to start laughing.
Well, I couldn't help it. If Myra Skaggs hadn't snickered like that, I would have been all right. But she snickered and snorted behind her handbook. I had to laugh.
Well, I couldn't help it, and all those babies didn't help either, with their wailing and throwing themselves about and everybody laughing.
And you hiccuping for all your life. Sounding like some old steam engine and Reverend Wiebe looking mad and trying to preach.
Preaching I was called to do and preaching I intend to do. And them that makes a mockery of the word will be cut off. Them that scorns the sermon be outcast.
Reverend Wiebe means well, but he is a mite stuffy. And unforgiving to hiccupers during his sermon. Well, now the day's begun in earnest. There'll likely be a bunch of folks in the wash and dry emporium today. Today's the big celebration in the park where we honor the town. Bill Dooley will sing. He's Irish, but he sings fine.
Lura, 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 tura, lura, lie, tura, lura, lura. Now don't you cry, tura, lura, lura.
Sleeping, you wouldn't mind him singing. Besides, he sings pretty. I like it.
Yes, you do, don't you? That's a fine thing when a wife admires an Irishman.
Lura, 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 lura,
lura. I love racket. Ain't nobody allowed any sleep in this boarding house?
That's an Irish lullaby.
Oh.
Bill Dooley's all right. He moved here from Peoria. I think that says it all. Now, Roscoe Peterson moved here from Minneapolis. And that's another story.
Yes, I moved here from Minneapolis. I can't remember why. The weather's not as good, and the land can't compare with Minnesota farmland. And the people
are just as friendly as they are back in Minnesota. The trouble with you, Roscoe Peterson, is that you're don't like anyone from any state but Minnesota.
Well, people are odd from other states.
The crowds will be arriving soon. Getting hot. Lots of lemonade and fish will be sold today. That's our pavilion down by the lake. See that big orange canopy? We use that for our celebration. It's a parachute sent back from Vietnam by young Bobby Solitsky. We all waited for Bobby, but he didn't come back. The charge to the new preacher generally takes place on Fair Day. It's always an interesting occasion. They always seem to dress in black. Wonder why.
And you young men should remember your vows in all times and in all places. Be thrifty. Put something aside if you can. Study the scriptures. Don't bore your congregations with newfangled ideas like higher criticism and all those other isms. Stick to the text!
That's my boy in the black suit. My, don't he stand straight and tall? Look at those shoulders. His coat don't fit, but he'll grow into it. I wish his father could see this day. Monroe was always a quiet boy, read all the time. The other boys picked on him when he was little, but look at him now, standing there with those other brand new preachers. My.
Yes, they picked on me. I was quiet and different. They were cruel, the way most people are cruel. They went their way, fishing poles, cars, women, and I went mine. I studied day and night, often all night, and I prayed I would find the strength to get through seminary. My mother is watching me. Some of the boys I went to school with are too. They don't know what to think or what to call me. Good. I won't help them. They had their fun. Just let them come to church needing anything. Just let them.
And your strength shall be multiplied 100-fold to do the kingdom's work. Study diligently. Eat light meals. Avoid gossip.
Yes, avoid gossip if you can. Just pray you never find yourself in a situation where you have to comfort someone when nothing will do but holding that person until they stop sobbing. You fear their heart will break and you hold them and talk to them and rock them in your arms until... Just pray you don't face that. There are times when warmth and closeness means more than quoting passages. But just pray the elders don't find out. That's why I'm standing here watching instead of assisting Brother Weeby with the charge to the candidates.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ox!
Some say Brother Kincaid got a bad deal in his little church. Not much was heard of it there. That's down in the hollow. They didn't ask questions, they just kicked him out. Churched him, some call it. An odd way to put it. The girl cried and told them she was trying to help, but they wouldn't have it. Once Abner Stokes is set on something, that's it.
We may live in the hollow, but we ain't stupid. I saw Kincaid, Brother Kincaid, holding that DeVar woman. Well, I can tell you, we don't stand for that. No, sir. We don't want that around here. We just won't have it.
Yes, he held me. I guess I left him little choice. I was hysterical, I suppose. I lost control for a moment. I should have been stronger. After all, other women have faced the same kind of troubles when their husband dies or leaves them all alone. But I had been married such a short time when John was killed in that terrible accident of mine. I was nearly mad with grief. Alone, pregnant, my parents in Boston. I suppose I needed to pour it out to someone. And we had made friends here. It is difficult to make friends here. It is difficult to make them accept you if you're not born and raised here. And Reverend Kincaid was so gentle, so understanding. He just held me while I cried. Just held me.
Yes, they both lie. I know fornication when I see it.
I doubt it.
That's Mrs. Stokes. She may be from the hollow, but she speaks up.
You keep out of this, woman.
No, I'm not keeping quiet. And don't you call me woman. I'm Ellen. And if you go through with this, I'll never forgive you. That preacher showed some sympathy to that girl, and I'd have been ashamed of him if he hadn't.
Sympathy can be shown from his side of his desk. I saw them holding each other and swaying back and forth.
I'm surprised you recognized it.
I did. I did my duty as elder.
You're a cruel man, Abner Stokes. And this Apollo is cruel.
Nevertheless, they told me to leave. I just stopped by to see the new man. I see they still wear their black suits. I wish them well.
And you are servants to your flocks. Always show compassion to an injured or troubled soul, without thought for yourselves.
The day's getting on. Food sure looks good, though some of the pies are looking a little runny in this heat.
It's hot.
Down here with that pitcher. Be careful. It's crystal all the way from New York.
Look out! There's an ant on your spoon, Junior. Look out! Oh, you ate it.
All right, Joe Huggins. Into the jail with you. You know you can't come to Fair Day without a beard. Don't shove so. You'll bust it. Get in there now.
Joe Huggins showed up last year and got thrown in our little makeshift jail, too, at that time. But he had a drop too much, and he threatened to burn the thing down unless they let him out. They refused, of course. It's all in good fun. Next thing we know, there's smoke coming from the jail, and I'll be darned if it didn't burn down to the ground. Almost burned himself up in it. I guess he was too drunk to know his pants were smoking.
Just one, Grandma.
You paid four already. You bust if you eat any more ice cream.
Say what you want. My dog can tree anything on four legs.
He did pretty well with two-legged critters last year when he hiked the leg in Alderman Jones as he was giving his annual Faraday speech.
That's Josie Childress. She was Bobby Solinsky's girl. Poor thing. She never gave up hope that Bobby would come home. She joined some organization trying to get news of him. Anything. She wrote letters to Congress and got White Station letters back. For a while. And then nothing. There's Charles Hablicky. Over there by the lemonade stand. He went away to college and comes home now and then on vacation. He says he's learned an awful lot.
Charles, if you just wouldn't talk so fast, your uncle would understand you better.
Oh, Aunt Herrick, you say that every time I come back here. I talk like I always do. I just don't think Uncle Ralph understands what I'm saying.
Yes, he does too understand. He may not have your education, but he knows what you're talking about. Don't think he doesn't. He just takes his time about answering.
Aunt Harriet, Uncle Ralph asked me why I went to college. Can you beat that? What a question. How could I answer him? Would he understand my search for truth, for beauty, for the just way...
Slow down, Charlie.
For the just way, the meaning behind it all? How could I tell him of my search for the transcendental modality? How could I infuse him with my appreciation for Aristotle, the Eastern mystics, the nature of the One?
Charlie, your Uncle Ralph understands a lot about the One. How you and he are one. How he held your dying father above water during that terrible flood. He is infused with growing better corn and selling more hogs so you can continue college. He doesn't have a lot of time for the Eastern mystics, but he does pretty well every Sunday in the community church.
But Aunt Harriet, all he knows is the farm, the land. There's a whole cosmos out there. There's a million stars up there we haven't even seen yet. Just think of the challenge. Think of the interaction, the dialogue between peoples.
I wish you could have seen him last night, Charlie. You were sound asleep when your Uncle Ralph put on his slicker and sloshed through the mud and rain to fetch back that hound who was having pups. She'd hid them in a big hollow log. Ralph brought them back in his shirt, their mama alongside him, looking up at him with the most sorrowful eyes. He sat down in the barn with them and dried each one. He got their mama to lie down in the hay. He sat there until the wee hours talking to that hound so she wouldn't get scared and run off into the woods with them pups. I don't know much about interactions or dialogue, but he stroked that poor old hound and stayed right there until he fell asleep in the hay next to them dogs. He wanted to give you one when they was weaned. He thought you'd love a dog.
The sun does seem to be sliding down a little. These days are just a mite shorter now. Some say the early autumn trees are starting to turn. Faraday seems to be the turning point in our weather. Don't seem to keep folks home, though, worrying about rain. See those folks over there by the food stand? You can see they aren't from here.
Don't eat this stuff, Janet. It's terrible. I don't know how the Board of Health let them sell this slop.
Oh, Fred. This place, Board of Health? Be serious.
Just look at this. Do you think for 1 minute this is a buffalo burger?
It's probably goat.
Don't eat it, Precious.
I want it, Daddy. It's good.
Oh, Precious, your outfit.
But, Mommy, can't they run around and play?
No, indeed. You think I'm going to let you have grass stains and have to pay the bill for you rolling down a hill?
Janet, do you see one other man here in a leisure suit? These people are really hicks.
Fred, they're color. Rural rustics. Color, Fred. Why do you think we came all the way out here?
So the day winds down. The sun hitting those fair far trees is a lovely sight. The fires will be starting soon. The young ones will wander down through the river and set a while. We pretend not to know.
I don't pretend! I never pretend! Abomination and abomination! Turn your back all you want to! I wouldn't be surprised if a she-bear didn't come out of the woods and smite them all in their sin!
You'll have to excuse Reverend Weeby. He forgets how he and Lizzie used to spark down by the river on fair days. Of course, since Lizzie passed on, the Reverend has put more emphasis on sin, it seems. Maybe that's what happens when your bed is cold at night.
Oh, Buddy. I don't think we should. Buddy, don't be mad, but...
But gosh... I love you a bunch. Sue, you know that, don't you? Have I told you that before?
Yes, Buddy. Only...
Come on. Sue, I'll be leaving for school next week. And if you love me...
Oh, Buddy.
That moon is it's not going to amount to much tonight. There's a wind making in the southwest. And I reckon Ralph Halpoke would be in the barn with those dogs. And Charles will be talking his arm off about Aristotle.
Oh, Lord, protect your servant. For I have erred, I ask forgiveness.
I guess we could all ask that. Here comes Frank Solitsky. He'll see that the town's all buttoned up. He's not a real sheriff, but he's ours. See, he'll try each knob on the street. The wind's rising. Old Frank will be turning in after he takes down the flag the government gave him. I guess there's just a handful of folks left down there by the river. The fires will die out one by one. The lovers will find their dreams, some of them, and lose some. Buddy and Sue, I don't know. I guess there's life in Ulysses yet. You missed Alderman Jones' speech about the how he came to call this town Ulysses. But I guess that's not so important. Half the folks who live here have forgotten. The wind's turning. That moon will be cold tonight. Good night, Frank.
When Irish eyes are smiling, all the world is bright and gay.
That's singing!
Some things never change. This old town has a little life left in her. At least some of us can still sing.
Thank you.